It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Bob Walk brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. And by Gutter Helmet. Try the maintenance-free gutter solution from the Gutter Helmet. Call 888-5-HELMET for a free estimate. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. And as always, the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, it's been, first of all, how are you doing today? Hopefully everything is going well for you.
Good, Paul. Up here in Cleveland, I'm on my first road trip since early April. So,
oh, okay.
Getting to feel like what it's like to be on the road again.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's nice. You get a small taste of it that's not that far of a way. And so, you know, you don't have to do a whole lot to travel to get there. Bob, can you, I don't know, can you help explain what exactly happened in this home series against the Cubs? Because it wasn't just that they lost games. It looked like the wheels completely fell off in every department. They didn't field well. They hit better than they've hit. You know, they did score some runs, but they, you know, not timely runs that they needed. They obviously didn't pitch well. I mean, I don't know. It looked to me, like I said, the wheels just sort of fell off.
Yeah, I think it was more than anything else, it was a pitching collapse. But there was a lot of other little tiny things that contributed, but not to the extent to where you could blame anything on them. I mean, there were some base running blunders, but a lot of those came after we were way behind anyway. There was some plays that weren't made. There was a double play ball in particular. I can't remember now which game it was that we didn't even get a out on it, and then there ended up being a pretty good size inning after that. And you know that was a big part of that game. But the pitching is just has not been good. Other than Skeens, he did a decent job. Not kind of like we've normally seen him in the past, but he did okay. I mean, he was good enough to where they could take him out early because it felt like the game was well in hand. It just, that's my only explanation is the pitching. The bullpen really has been the culprit here in the month of August. You know, at the end of July, we're talking about, sneaking into the playoffs. I think we were only a couple of games back, and we just needed to add a little offense to the team, and that was all, realistic assumptions. And I don't think anybody saw this collapse in the pitching coming, and especially the bullpen. I don't have any explanation for what's going on with Bednar other than his control is not very good. But it's kind of been all like that all year, on and off. It's not been the Bednar we've seen in the past, control wise. Stuff still looks okay, but he just can't put the ball where he wants to, and he's paying a price for that. That's it. If you want to blame it on somebody or something, blame it on the pitching, and that always makes the entire team look horrible. That's why you can't ever think about being a good team and going to the playoffs unless you have good pitching. The starting rotation, you've heard me say this 1,000 times, that's your foundation. You build everything off of. And then if you're not going to let games slip away that you're supposed to win, you're also going to have good bullpen. And most of the year. That's the way it was, and that's why at the end of July, everybody, including myself, was thinking, okay, if we can get a little more offense in here to where that's a little more consistent as far as our run scoring, you know, we may be able to pull something off here. But the pitching unexplainably has just gone south in a hurry. And, we've got a couple of guys that are on the IL, you know, that led to it. But so does everybody else in the league. You can never really point to that. That when you start talking about injuries, you're just making excuses.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things about it is, you know, I've asked this several times. It never ever feels, like David Bednar was fully healthy this year. But if he's out there pitching, you have to believe he's on some level healthy, correct?
Well, yes, and you know, you can go by, you know, his velocity also. If somebody's hurt, their velocity is always, you know, takes a tick. I mean, that's anytime somebody's velocity is down, let's say Bednar goes out there and he's throwing 94, 95, first thing in my mind is, oh, something's wrong with him. First thing in everybody's mind. But that really hasn't been the case. Now, there can't, excuse me, there can be, you know, something that allows you, hold on here. There can be something that allows you to still throw pretty hard, but messes up your release point. Messes with your mechanics a little bit. You know, that could be, you know, something like kind of a sore back, or, you know, maybe a knee problem that's, you know, messing with you once you plant, and then your controls all goes to hell, even though your velocity is up there still. Now, there could be something like that with him. I don't know. If there is, everybody has done a great job of keeping that a secret.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's been, you know, like I said, it's just been frustrating because it feels like he's just never been fully right the entire year. And that, you know, that sometimes happens to pitchers. Jared Jones came back this week, Bob, and didn't necessarily go the way we thought it would, did it?
No, it didn't. He looked really good too, you know, velocity, size, and all that stuff. But his command wasn't, I think, where he really wanted it. And it just goes to show you that even though if you have great stuff, you know, like Bednar, like Jones has, you know, you can throw that fastball in the upper 90s, you still have to be able to, you know, put it where you want to. In Jones's case, he needs to really consistently hammer the upper part of the strike zone with that fastball of his. That's where he gets most of his outs, most of his swings and misses with. And if you can't do that, well, this is the major leagues. It's, you know, it's, in the minor leagues, when you go down there, like, you know, in AAA, you got a lot of guys swinging at a lot of stuff that they're not going to chase up here. And I think that was his problem. I'm hoping that the second time out there, you know, he'll be a little bit better with his command and he'll pitch better. But that, you know, that's always been the thing with him in the minor leagues coming up is always, well, does he have the good enough control? And then when we saw him this year, his control was crazy. It was so good. You know, the way he pitched the first couple months of the season, you know, he looked like Greg Maddux out there with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. So that probably wasn't him either. They're probably in between is where he's going to be, where he's going to average maybe 3 walks per 9 innings and have the good stuff. And if he does that, I think he'll be a real good pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing, you know, that you hope. The other big news of the week, Bob, O'Neill Cruz is now a center fielder. And when we had Derek Shelton on, we asked, you know, could he move back if it doesn't work out? And he basically said, no, he's a center fielder. What are your thoughts on that? I don't know. Can a guy adapt to that position, you know, for a position change like that quickly, or is it going to be a learning process?
Well, there'll be a little bit of a learning process as far as, you know, where is he supposed to play, the certain types of hitters and all that stuff, although a lot of that is written on the card that he's been used to looking at while he's a shortstop, too, just looking at, a card that's going to position him in a different area. I see no problem with him physically going out to center field, though he's built like a center fielder. He should be fine out there. you know, they, and this is not something that's new. You know, we've heard talks about this. I mean, when he was in A ball, I had many conversations up in the press box with people saying, yeah, they got this huge kid that's got all the talent in the world. Do you think he can really play shortstop, or do you think they're going to have to move him to the outfield? And, you know, this has always been in the works that it could happen. But, I mean, going all the way back to, I don't know if you remember Chad Hermanson. He was a similar type guy, young shortstop that, if I remember right, at the age of 21, he'd already hit 60 home runs in AAA. I mean, he was an unbelievable phenom guy, a shortstop slash center fielder. They eventually moved him to center field. He didn't work out in the big leagues, but he was the same type of player, real good speed, great arm, power guy, struck out a ton. And that's just kind of like the move that everybody makes. You know, and I heard, I think it was Starkey was talking about this about a month or so ago, about teams that they're always drafting shortstops. Well, that's because the shortstops in amateur ball, they're always the best players. Most of them are. So, you know, you get a whole bunch of shortstops, and hardly any of them, if they make the big leagues, are even going to be shortstops. They will move to other positions. And a lot of them go to center field. That's just kind of the way it is. So those are the two spots where you have your most athletic people, in center field and shortstop. But 6'7", fastest guy in the field, great arm, big wingspan. I mean, that's you're talking about, you go to a lab and build a robot to play center field, you're going to build a guy that you know, looks almost exactly like Cruz does. I mean, I hopefully he just blossoms out there. I know that the bat is really coming around this year. Been hitting lefties, doing a great job with that. He could end up being a Gold Glover out there. He's got that athletic ability, but he could be. He has to do it.
Right. He's also got the arm too. I mean, you know, if he can get to a point where he, you know, understands how to throw from the outfield versus how to throw from short. He has also got an outfielder's arm, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's had to make one competitive throw to a base so far. And that one throw that he made is already the second, it was the second highest velocity throw from the outfield in the National League this year. That was his first throw he's ever made. So, yeah, he's got a great arm from the outfield. There's no doubt about that. You know, you know, he gets to get a little momentum going forward. You know, the big crow hop. He'll make some great throws from out there. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be a big thing, Bob. It's pretty clear they're out of the playoff race. I mean, obviously, you know, stranger things have happened, but let's be realistic. They're behind a lot of teams now, and it's sort of they're fading away. What do they need to accomplish in these next 30 games?
Well, I think everybody has a little different agenda, you know, as far as the players and so forth. But, you know, there's a lot of personal stuff that's at stake for everybody down there. You know, the veteran guys that are just so-so, well, then they're going to be playing for contracts for next year. The veteran guys that are, you know, like for Reynolds, for instance, he's got some personal numbers that I'm sure he would like to put up before the end of this season. He's having a really nice year, you know, RBIs, you know, home runs, batting average, that sort of thing. You know, young guys are, you know, looking for a job, to play for a job. Davis, for instance, with Bart having a pulled hamstring right now, he's going to get some playing time over the next couple weeks. I think he wants to show them that he's going to be part of the catching tandem next season. He's got to prove that he can hit up here, I think. So that's what he's going to be looking for. Obviously, with all these answers, you're right. This last homestand, losing those three games and everything. I mean, that's put us to the point now that we're talking about making the playoffs is a little bit of a fantasy. And as you say, strange things can happen, but you're not looking at that right now. I think you're looking at some individual stuff. And like I said, everybody's got a little something different on their mind that's going out there, depending what their personal situation is. You still have to play to win. You still have to, you know, play as a team. And that's another thing that the young guys are going to have to prove that they know how to do, how to play to win ball games. I mean, it's not a tryout. This is not a showcase. And I think that some young guys, they think it is. That, you know, they, we're down by eight. They don't care. They're still going to try and stretch a single into a double to show everybody how fast they are. And then they get a, they get thrown out, and it just shows them that how they're not thinking about the game. So that's also you know, true. You can try to show everybody how physically gifted you are and how good of a baseball player you are, but you can also show people that you're not very smart when you're out there, when you're not trying to play as a team and win games.
Yeah, it is kind of an interesting sort of dilemma where you want to win as many games as you can possibly win, but they've got to figure out some things. For instance, you know, Isaiah Kiner Falefa, can he handle shortstop full time? Because that's something that seems like.
I agree. They're definitely going to be looking at that. I mean, this is a tremendous opportunity for him. And I mean, if he plays well in the field and continues to hit like he has, it's kind of a career year for him with the bat. If he continues to hit the way he has this year here in September and handles the defense in a way that you at least look at and say is good enough. I'm not saying he has to be a gold glover or anything out there. But then you go into the offseason and say, well, you know, there's a position we don't have to worry about. We got shortstop covered. And I think that's staring him in the face. That's his job, not one right now. And he's also a guy that has that in his mind, and he knows that that's the situation right now. But he's also one of those players that it kind of like what I think of Reynolds, that he's going to go out there and go hard all the time. You're not going to see him taking any plays off. You know, you won't see him, you know, jogging the first or any of that kind of stuff, you know, on a single. And you won't see him making stupid outs on the bases, you know, when we're down by four or five runs. That's just not the way he plays. So I think that's another thing that everybody will see, and he'll be able to prove to everybody that he's a winning-type ball player besides the nuts and bolts of, you know, fielding ground balls and getting base hits.
Yeah, and then, you know, the one other thing that they need to figure out is what do they have in Henry Davis? So, I mean, at some point they're going to have to give him a number of reps at catcher, aren't they?
Well, yeah, this is I think I just mentioned he's got probably a couple weeks here.
Yeah.
With Bart, who is, you know, the starter right now at catcher. There's no doubt. I mean, he's had a very strong year for us, but he's got a pulled hamstring right now. I don't think it's real bad, so we'll see how long he's out. I would say he'd be out, you know, a couple weeks. And, you know, Davis is going to have a lot of time back there behind home plate. I mean, they're trying to take a look at him, you know, quite a bit. I think you saw that it was yesterday's game. He went in for the last few innings, if I remember correctly. And, I mean, that was when we had the great big lead. And, you know, they wanted to get Grandal, who's the older guy, get him out of there and let him get a little bit of a rest. But also, you know, it's another chance for Davis to be behind the plate and get another at-bat. And they're taking as much a look at him as they can. And I don't think it's so much, you know, about his defense and that sort of thing. I think everybody realizes that, you know, he might not be Johnny Bench back there on defense, but his defense is good enough. But he's yet to prove he can hit up here. He's hitting the minor leagues, but hadn't hit up here yet. He needs to show that.
Well, they've got a weekend series. Here, Bob, we'll let you go on this one. They've got a weekend series in Cleveland against the Indians. Indians are a pretty good ball club. Are they also a sort of a model of what the Pirates could be, considering how they've been put together?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of teams every year out there that have market size where they don't spend huge amounts of money, but they do the right things and they put together a winning team. I mean, I think that people have looked at Minnesota for years and years. Tampa Bay is an example of that. I mean, there's teams out there, you know, all over that can do that. And you know, the model is there. And I don't think that that's really an issue anymore. Everybody knows, you know, what you have to do. If you're a smaller market, you have to have a very good minor league system, and you have to not make mistakes when you do go out and get free agents. You know, you can't spend a whole lot of money on somebody that, or some player that just ends up not performing for you. And you got to find those, some of those players, the older players, like say an AJ Burnett, Liriano, for instance. So those are my two favorite examples, because I think they had such a huge impact on the team and the organization, back when we won those three, wild card, slots in a row. That you got to find some guys like that, that you're not necessarily going to have to pay huge money on, but they might have a great upside to where they still got some gas left in their tank and can not only give you great stuff on the field, but also help you out, you know, with that clubhouse as a veteran player, showing guys how it's done. You got to try and find those type of guys.
Bob, thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend series with the Indians, and we will do it again next Friday.
All right, Paul. Always great talking to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Bob. That was Bob Walk.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We have 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19. In Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. What's Cooking is brought to you by Geico Rep Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And of course, Fan Weather is brought to you by the Chevy Summer Drive, continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500. In rebates, terms, conditions at sunchevy.com, high of 89 today with sunny skies.
And Paul, don't forget, it's 139. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. See what they can do for you.
Okay. So I think we got the whole sheet in.
Other than the one that I emailed you something.
Here we go. Yeah. Celebrate the start of football at the Kickoff and Rib Festival, presented by Icy Light, August 29th through September 2nd. At Acrisure Stadium, admission is free. National rib vendors, free concerts, football, and fun. Visit acrisurestadium.com/ribfest and join us for Labor Day weekend. On the North Shore, do we have some college football music that we could hit? I know there's some that we use from time to time, since we're going to now do a little pick segment, which we don't always do, but it's the first weekend of the season. Uh-oh.
I'm using my first Paul pause.
There we go. That's okay. We had just talked about it. By the way, I'll give you some breaking, a little bit of breaking news as we do this.
Okay.
T.J. McConnell, did you see the news?
I did. I put it in the update.
Did you see the news about him?
Four-year extension for the Chartiers Valley, man.
Extension for $54 million or $45 million. That's incredible.
It's a lot of money. Good for TJ.
Obviously he's a great kid. I mean, he's not a kid anymore. He's exactly what you want in a backup point guard, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's tough. He's physical. He brings a spark off the bench, and he can score. He can't score at the top of the best in the NBA, but he's a good second line scorer off the bench.
Well, Pony just tweeted out a picture of Brandon Ayuk and it said 3 p.m. today. Are they going to skip the first hour of their show? Or?
Apparently.
What is that?
No Ayuk talk until 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Pony's going to put it all out there on the table of what he's heard.
Yeah. So anyway, do we got the music? There we go. And it's the first weekend of the season. Well, technically the second week, but really the first week.
It's the first week.
That week zero stuff we don't subscribe to. Got a couple of games that we're going to take a look at here. And, of course, we'll save a couple of the bigger games a little bit for the end of the hour. First of all, the big one of the day is actually not the one in Morgantown, but the big one of the day is one of two. So we're going to start with the first one, the early one, the Clemson Tigers looking to get some clout for the ACC. They go into Athens to play against Georgia. Georgia is 11.5-point favorites. What do you like?
See, I don't know if Clemson is very good at the quarterback position.
Right.
It's just a spotty position for them. They really haven't gotten it right since who? Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence, like, probably right. Yeah.
And that's been a big part of why Dabo Swinney and Clemson have not been great and have not made headway in the ACC. DJ Uiagalelei, remember him? He wasn't very good.
Did you have to bring his name up? I had to watch him last weekend play for my favorite team.
He's not good.
He's terrible.
And you saw a front row seat of it.
When they signed him, I'm like, why would you bring him in? He wasn't any good when you were at when he was at Clemson and you played against him. Anyway, go ahead.
Clemson wins. Or Georgia wins, I'm sorry. Georgia beats Clemson pretty handily.
Yes.
I think it's a 14-point win for Georgia.
So
they're
you
dominant.
Like, you like them to cover the 11.5.
They're going to cover.
I'm going to tell you this much right now. Clemson is not what they used to be. They're probably the best team in the ACC, but I don't know if that's saying much. You know what I mean? Because we saw NC State and North Carolina struggle last night. We saw SMU struggle with, who was it, like Nevada or somebody like that?
Yeah.
Last week. Florida State clearly is not as good as they were last year. So Clemson, I think, is the best team in the ACC. But guess what? Tomorrow, they're going to get rolled.
Rolled.
I think Georgia wins. 11.5 is the spread. And I got to be honest with you, I'll be shocked if it's within 20. Like three touchdown Georgia win. I think they're just that much better than Clemson. I'm going Georgia, and I think the score is going to be something like 42 to 20, something like that.
Very interesting.
Yes. That's my thoughts on that game. Now, there's another big game, and this one is taking place in College Station, Texas at Kyle Field. Notre Dame obviously sparks lots of emotions among people because they're ranked in the top 10 already. They play at Texas A&M, who's ranked 20th. Texas A&M has been one of those teams that's very active in the NIL and transfer portal stuff. So what are your thoughts on this game?
See, I like this matchup, Paul. Texas A&M is a team where when the SEC plays against Notre Dame, it seems like Notre Dame sometimes has their fits. But the Fighting Irish have had a bad way of starting off the season. Ohio State, I remember, I think it might have been last year, maybe a couple years ago. Notre Dame, whether it be USC, whatever portion of the year, start of the year kind of is rough for Notre Dame. I think the tide turns and they pull off what is kind of viewed as an upset in Texas A&M. I think Notre Dame outright takes the win with Texas A&M favored by 3.
Yeah, you know, what's that guy that they used to have on the morning show that would say, the wrong team is favored?
Oh, he was on there this morning. Lee
like
Sterling, Paramount
that guy, yes,
Sports.
Yes, the wrong team is favored. A&M is a 3-point favorite in this game. And I agree with you. I think Notre Dame, this is going to be the year. They're definitely going to get to the playoff. Let's just bury that. They're definitely going to be in the playoff.
I'm not fully convinced that they will.
I think they're going to be in the playoff, and I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Let's just go through this. Northern Illinois stinks. Purdue stinks. Miami of Ohio stinks. They play Louisville, who beat them last year, but it's in Notre Dame, so they'll win that game. Stanford stinks. Georgia Tech is not very good. Navy stinks. Florida State stinks. Virginia stinks. Army stinks. USC stinks. Who are they playing that's beating them?
Oh, my gosh. They don't play any ranked teams after A&M until Florida State in November.
If they win this game, even if they lose this game, they will be in the playoffs.
Florida State might not even be ranked by November.
Florida State will be. Yeah, please don't remind me. Okay. We have to call a moratorium. Well, no, we don't, because they're playing one of the big national TV games this week again. So I've got to endure another one. The next game that we're going to bring up is, and what time we got to be out of here? 51. So yep. We will do one more of these games that is on. So this would be on 3:30 on Saturday. Miami Hurricanes, ranked in the top 20, going to the swamp to play against Florida. And Mario Cristobal, year three, does he finally get this team up over the top?
Womp womp. Florida Gators chomp on Miami. Paul, I don't know what to make of Miami every single season. It's the U is back after week three, and they win like two big games. And then halfway through the season, you're like, oh, Miami's 500 again.
Yeah.
Florida wins. SEC rules over Miami.
Yeah, I think it's a bad day for Miami. They're -2.5. Wrong team favored. I think Florida wins. I agree with you. Real quickly, two other ones. Tomorrow or Sunday night, USC LSU.
Ooh, there we go. That's a doozy. Where's the game?
It's in Vegas, in Las Vegas.
Oh,
so it's a neutral site game. I think
LSU.
I think Raleigh, whatever his name is,
Lincoln Riley.
I think he's such a fraud. I hate USC. I hope they get killed.
I don't know who their quarterback is. I don't really care. They don't have Caleb Williams.
They're soft. They're the same team. Their defense stinks. LSU will beat them. And then, of course, Monday night, the big game on Monday night, primetime on ESPN. Boston College is at Florida State. Can we handle the Fighting Eagles?
The last couple of years, they've had such huge Monday night games. Didn't LSU play somebody like went to
Florida
the
State.
Was it Florida State? Yeah. At the very end, like a Monday night. It was a fantastic game last year.
Yeah. I'm worried that we can't even handle Boston College.
Boston College won, like, what, seven games last year, and they were celebrating Florida State will win.
We'll see. This DJ, what's his name, is in my head. Okay.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Let's start with the game here. Pitt is 23.5-point favorites against Kent State. Do you believe they will cover that number?
No. Yeah.
23 yes, and a yeah. half. That's a lot. That's a lot for a brand new offense trying to figure it out and all the other stuff that they have going for, you know what I mean?
How good is Kent State, though?
And probably not that great.
I don't think they're that good.
But I just don't think that Pitt early in the season is going to blow anybody out.
Pitt loves blowing people out at the very beginning of the season. You know, the Woffords of the world?
Yeah.
The Youngstown States of the world when they don't lose to them?
Yeah, they also make these games a lot closer than they need to be.
Statement win from Pitt. It won't be reminiscent of what I think happens later on in the future. 42-13 Pitt blowout.
Yes, so you got them covering.
They cover.
All right, I can live with that. It's going to be close to cover. They'll win, but it's going to be close. And then, of course, we'll finish with the game.
What's your score of the Pitt-Kent State game?
I think Pitt's going to win something like 38-17. So I'll say they won't cover. 38-17, something like that.
All right, it's going out there on the graphic later, too, as well as this game.
Penn State. Virginia, West Virginia, Penn State, -7.5 now.
Oh, the line keeps shifting.
Keeps going down. What do you like here?
This is, I think, a lot tougher of a game than a lot of Penn State people want to admit. West Virginia is good. They're going to be ranked for, I don't want to say a considerable portion of the season this year, but they are going to be up there in the rankings, cracking the top 25 at some point. But it won't be after this weekend. Drew Aller and Penn State with the new offensive coordinator that I think is just changing everything from me going up there and talking to some of the guys up there and talking to Andy Kotelnicki. The culture is different. The culture has changed. Penn State wins 24-17. Mountaineers cover.
All right. I'm going to tell you this much right now. James Franklin does one thing very, very, very well. He does not lose games he's not supposed to lose. He just doesn't. Very few games in his last 5 or 6 years that Penn State's lost where you say that was a really bad loss. They lose to the best teams they play, but they don't lose to the – I'm not buying the West Virginia hype. I think Mike Casazza opened my eyes to the fact that last year was built on a little bit of fiction and good, you know, favorable scheduling. I think Penn State is going to roll in Morgantown. I think Penn State, and I'm going to give you a score.
Give me the score.
What was your score? 21?
24-17 was my score.
I'm going to say, are you ready for this?
Yep.
Penn State 41, West Virginia 20.
Oh, boy.
Blow them out of the building. I don't think it's going to be close.
This has great backfire potential for us.
So to review, we both had Clemson or Georgia covering,
yep. Right?
And we both had Florida covering.
Yep.
And we both had LSU covering.
Yes.
And we both had Notre Dame covering.
We agreed on a lot.
The only thing we didn't agree on, I think, well, I didn't pick Pitt to cover, but
I have West Virginia covering.
But yeah, that's the only thing we really didn't agree on, is the West Virginia Penn State game. Anyway, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the ribs at the Rib Fest. Austin, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, Paul. All right. Talk soon.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.